Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today comes from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, beginning with the first verse as follows. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Here ends our text. In the name of our risen Lord Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, imagine if farm animals could choose their owners rather than the other way around. Usually when a farmer wants to select livestock, he goes to the livestock auction and picks out what he wants for his farm. But what if it were the other way around? What if cattle could select the ranchers on whose ranches they will live? The ranchers who would take the best care of them. What if sheep could choose their own shepherds? It's a ridiculous thought, of course. Animals are unable to separate the good from the bad. But we're not. When it comes to our spiritual shepherds, those leaders we listen to and learn from, Christians have choices. How can I tell which preachers are good shepherds? People who can be relied upon to lead me safely, spiritually, and guide me along the path to heaven. How can I tell the difference between them and the false shepherds, which the Bible warns us are so dangerous to our souls? And with all the dangers that threaten a Christian nowadays anyway, how can I be assured that I ever will make it safely through to my heavenly destination? Well, our text for today reveals that there is a way to ensure that you and your family have good spiritual leadership in your walk through life. That's why our theme for this morning is finding a good shepherd. One who preaches Christ is a good shepherd. Jesus himself, of course, is the good shepherd. The background for our text for this morning is interesting. Once again, Jesus found himself being attacked by the religious leaders of the Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees. Christ had committed the terrible crime of restoring sight to a blind man on the Sabbath day, and for that, the religious leaders castigated him. But Jesus turned the tables on them. He told them that they were the most blind of anyone. They, who claimed to be spiritual leaders, yet completely rejected the very Messiah that God had sent to save the people. Some religious leaders, instead of protecting the flock and nourishing the flock of God, they were fleecing the flock. Instead of guiding the people to heaven, they were leading them straight to hell. These are the same spiritual leaders of whom the prophet Isaiah foretold, "Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock." The thing was that these Pharisees looked good on the outside. They appeared very upstanding and pious and religious. So Jesus told this allegory about the shepherds. He wanted to give his people a surefire way to tell the godly leaders from the thieves and the robbers, the true shepherds from the false. And the key, he said, was this: one who preaches Christ is a good shepherd. In this allegory, of course, the sheep stand for you and me, for the people of God. Jesus pictures them in the sheepfold or the pen, which at the time of Christ was usually a sort of corral made of stone walls with a wooden gate or opening. Now Jesus said, here's how you can tell the true shepherds from the false. If you see someone climbing up over the wall or trying to get into the sheepfold any other way than through the door, you know that person is a thief or a robber. Because the true shepherd, he said, always uses the door to gain access to the sheep. And then Jesus reveals the key to the whole thing. Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. You see the point, of course. Jesus is the door. Anyone who claims to be a shepherd, who wants to be a religious leader of God's people, had better come to the people through the door, through Jesus Christ. That means he'd better come in the name of Christ. He'd better come preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he'd better come pointing the people to Christ alone as the only way of salvation. If he doesn't, Jesus said, you can tell him right away as a thief and a robber. Well, that described the scribes and Pharisees, right down to the ground, of course, thieves and robbers. And sadly, it also describes many of the religious leaders that we see around us in our world of 2016. The religious hucksters, the charismatic televangelists, and the most recent fad, the purveyors of the prosperity gospel, so-called, preachers who say, come and join my megachurch and listen to me. You'll have lots of money. You'll have a big house and your business will be successful. Now, any of these preachers may seem very good and pious. Sometimes even their message sounds pretty good. But that's not really the question, according to Jesus. The question is, are they using the door? Is their preaching directing people to Christ and his cross? Or is it directing them to themselves and their personality and their ministry? Sometimes these preachers seem very sincere. And I'm sure many of them are sincere. But if the focus of their teaching is not on the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, then in effect what they're doing is leading their people ever so sincerely away from Jesus, their Lord and Savior. Amen. My Christian friends, don't shrug off the dangers that are posed to your soul by these false shepherds. Their object, Jesus says, isn't simply to rob you and deceive you. Their final object is to deprive you of your eternal salvation. If you don't think false doctrine is a very serious matter, you need to wake up right now. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 2 said, it's just like cancer. Even a tiny bit of it is deadly dangerous and needs to be cut out of the body immediately because otherwise it will eventually kill you. Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. And by their fruits, Jesus doesn't mean how big their churches are or how many thousand members they have, not even how many good works they do. Jesus is talking about their teaching. Does the doctrine they preach line up with what God tells us in his word? That's how you'll know them. What was it that Jesus said was important in the Christian life? It was this: if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. It doesn't get much simpler than that. So here's the sure way to tell a good shepherd. One who uses the door, one who preaches Christ, is a good shepherd. Of this kind of shepherd, our Lord says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The sheep will recognize and be reassured by the voice of their good shepherd, because in reality, even the under-shepherd who preaches to them the gospel is speaking with the voice of the good shepherd. They're listening not to him, but to the voice of Jesus. Adding nothing to the Bible and taking nothing away, he nourishes them Sunday by Sunday with the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the way, the first part of this allegory holds out a wonderful promise, especially for Christian pastors. Use the door, it says. Preach Christ alone, and you can't go wrong. Well, up until this point in the allegory, Jesus has used a rather unusual picture to depict himself, the picture of a door. He is the door of the sheepfold. And if that seems like rather strange imagery to you, now he moves on to a picture that's far more familiar. In the last part of our text, Jesus portrays himself with a different image, one that has been cherished and beloved by Christians down through the centuries. He pictures himself not as the door through which all good shepherds pass, but as the good shepherd himself. Jesus says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." If you're looking for a shepherd for your life, don't forget the obvious. Jesus is the good shepherd. Most of us have been believers since we were children, I think, and we've gotten quite used to hearing Jesus described as our good shepherd. I hope you're not so used to it, however, that you miss the incredible importance of this expression. "I am the good shepherd," Jesus said. "The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." If you ponder that statement for anything longer than a few moments, you realize that it's really rather strange and disturbing to think about. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. In my first parish, after I graduated from the seminary, it was a rural parish, and I had a number of farmers, and several of them had sheep. And they certainly were good shepherds who took a great deal of care to provide their sheep with enough to eat and good pasture and to protect them from predators. Sheep are valuable, after all, and it just makes sense to take good care of one's investment. But what would you say about a person who actually gave up his own life for the sake of his livestock? I don't think you'd call him the good shepherd, would you? You'd probably call him the crazy shepherd. It wouldn't make any sense to sacrifice a precious human life for the sake of such inferior beings. Or would it? Because that's exactly what Jesus did for you and me, isn't it? He gave his own life for us, the lost and straying sheep of his pasture. And at this point, I'd like to call your attention to a very small word in our text, the word "for." The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. In fact, that's a rather inadequate translation of the Greek, because that word in the original actually means "instead of" or "in the place of." The good shepherd gives his life instead of the sheep. So you see, really, the metaphor here is not that, say, of a shepherd bravely battling a wolf and sacrificing his own life to protect the sheep. It's really more than that. This is the picture of a shepherd who voluntarily goes to the slaughterhouse and offers his own life to be taken so that his sheep may live. That's what Jesus did for us. That's exactly what Isaiah said in his 53rd chapter. "The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." As we heard a few weeks ago on Good Friday, Jesus went along quietly. He didn't object or defend himself before Pontius Pilate. He didn't object when spikes were driven through his hands and his feet. He knew exactly what he was doing. With his death on the cross, Jesus was dying instead of us. He was taking our place, acting as our substitute, making the payment for sins that we would never be able to make. The good shepherd gave his life instead of you giving your life. He bore the punishment so you might never have to bear it. He endured hell on the cross in order to open heaven for you. He was forsaken by his heavenly Father so you could be reconciled to your heavenly Father. The Apostle Paul put it this way: you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked heart, by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Are you seeking a good shepherd? Then you've come to the right place, because nobody could possibly be a better good shepherd for your soul than your Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have sins which burden your conscience? We all do. Bring them to the Lord Jesus. He is the good shepherd, the one who by his own blood atoned for all of those sins. Are you struggling with a particular sorrow in your life right now? Come to your good shepherd. He will give you the strength to bear it. Your good shepherd, as the psalmist has said, heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Perhaps you're anxious about the future or worried about dangers that lurk along your path ahead. Do not be afraid. Come to the good shepherd, and you too will be able to say with the psalmist, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Maybe you're a straying sheep, someone who has spent months or years wandering far from your God. Return to the good shepherd. He will not cast you off. He welcomes wanderers. For Peter says, "You are like sheep going astray, but you have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Yes, come to Jesus Christ, for Jesus himself is the good shepherd. He provides for all your needs, physical and spiritual. One thing you know, of course, if Jesus already sacrificed himself in order to take away your sins, he's not going to withhold any of the other things that you want and need in your life. He gave you forgiveness of sins. He's going to give you enough money to pay your electric bill. He poured out his blood for you on Calvary's cross. He's not going to omit to put food on your table. The very idea is absurd. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, Jesus says. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Nor is it just the mere essentials that your good shepherd provides for you. To the contrary, especially when compared with the hollow, self-seeking, spiritually empty lives of the believers around us, the life that our risen Lord Jesus brings to us is a life that is rich and spiritually full and abundant. That's why Jesus says in our text, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." I saw a painting once that I particularly liked. Perhaps you've seen it too. It's a picture of Jesus with a shepherd's staff leading his flock of sheep along a narrow and treacherous path. There are steep drop-offs on either side. Path is clearly very difficult, and the destination is far, far in the distance. And yet, you know, looking at that picture, that the sheep are safe. Their shepherd with his staff is guiding them unerringly toward their distant goal. My Christian friends, you are those sheep. You are the members of Jesus' flock. You are even now treading the thorny and treacherous path that leads toward our distant goal of everlasting life. And with all the dangers and sorrows besetting your path, you might think it unlikely that you would ever reach your destination, but take heart. You know how to find a good shepherd. This congregation has recently, in fact, found the next shepherd for Ascension Lutheran Church, a faithful young man who for many years has been studiously preparing himself to be a good shepherd, to lead his people into the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember, one who enters through the door, who preaches Christ, is a good shepherd. And Jesus himself is the good shepherd. And our good shepherd has made to each of us a promise that he'll never break. "My sheep hear my voice," Jesus said, "and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Amen.